I don't know whether all of you believe that the most wonderful life that was ever lived on this earth was the one Jesus lived. And that's the way you want to live. Is that the way you want to bring up your children? That's the way you want your children to live. It's very easy for us to not see that clearly. So, on this rock, a Christ revealed in my heart, I will build my church. And I believe that it's only those who have seen Christ revealed in their heart who really come together and form the church. And I've seen in every CFC church, there's a church within the church. The external church is what other people see. Everybody who comes to the meeting and sits there and they agree with the doctrine. They're not rebellious against the elders. They sing the songs and they look like wonderful brothers. But it's not the principles that Jesus lived by that governs their daily life. They conform to the outward form. But in the middle of this group called a church or CFC or NCCF, there are some who, like Peter and Paul, have seen Jesus in their heart and have seen how he lived and why he lived like that and are gripped by that. And it doesn't matter one bit what other people think about them. They say in their daily life, they are seeking to live by those principles every single day from morning till night. And that's not a strain. The life of Jesus was not a strain. It was the most relaxed, restful life that any human being ever lived. Life is a strain for those who are hypocrites. You know, because I always got to put up a front when I'm with other believers who are part of the church. I have to show that I'm also spiritual. That's a tremendous strain to live like that. I mean, it's like a dog. You train a dog to always say meow, meow, meow. Behave like a cat. It's a tremendous strain. I sometimes really feel some Christians I meet are like that. They're trying to conform and say the right words. They remind me of a dog being taught to say meow, meow, meow. And it's a strain. And sometime when they're off their guard, they begin to bark, just like anybody else, because they're dogs. That's not Christianity. That's hypocrisy. And that's what made the Pharisees the biggest enemies of Jesus Christ. And I don't think anybody here will think you're an enemy of Jesus Christ. If I ask you to say, no, certainly not. But do you know that if there's hypocrisy in your life, you belong to the group of people who are the biggest enemies of Jesus Christ on earth? Hypocrisy. You know, where you are pretending to be something you really are not in your daily life. Pretending to live by certain principles which you're not really living by in the choices you make in your daily life. That's hypocrisy. And it's a strain. It's exactly like a dog trying to say meow, meow, meow. And you may have a good reputation before others as a member of this church, but Jesus sees you very differently. Very differently. Because of unreality is the thing that he condemned more than anything else. In fact, just before he spoke about this church, see what he said in verse 6. Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they understood, verse 12, that he was not telling to beware of leaven of bread, verse 12. But the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees who were always emphasizing the outward form. The outward form. And in the midst of this, there were people like Peter who saw Jesus in their heart. Not because they were clever, not because... I mean, if you had gone to Peter and asked him to explain his doctrinal statement, he was not a clever guy. Some of us can explain these doctrines better than he could. But he had seen Jesus. And you can see the difference when you fellowship with someone who has seen Jesus. They are gripped by that. And others who are just agreement with the doctrine and who come along because they want to be accepted or have a good testimony before men. And if you have seen Jesus, on that rock, Jesus will build that church, and that church will never shake. All the powers of spiritual darkness will not be able to shake that church. Will not be able to shake such a life, not in time or in eternity. And you get two people like that, husband and wife, who are built on that rock, that will be a home that will never shake, time or eternity. And that's the type of home in which we want to bring up our children. A home that's gripped by the values of Jesus. Powers of darkness will never prevail against such a church. And this is the first time he spoke about the church. And it's also the first time that Jesus began to speak about the cross. It says, from that time, verse 21, Jesus began to show the disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and raised. It's significant that the very first time he spoke about the church, he also spoke about the cross. And not only the cross he was going to, it's the first time he began to speak to his disciples also and saying, if you want to come after me, verse 24, you got to take up your cross and follow me. So notice there the close relationship between Jesus speaking about the church for the very first time and speaking about taking up the cross. There's a close connection between the two. And as I see it, you cannot build a true church except with people who have really understood what it means to take up the cross in their daily life. Every single day, from morning till night, they are gripped by the message of the cross, of the daily cross in their life. And that can happen only if we see that that's how Jesus lived. To have the revelation of Jesus Christ means to see that he lived by this principle. He lived every day taking up the cross. And we are gripped by that and say, Lord, that's the way I want to live, because that's the best life that anybody ever lived on this earth. It wasn't just a form. It was reality deep within. So this is not a small thing, because when Jesus spoke about the cross, you know, humanly speaking, we don't like the cross. It's not something that is attractive to the flesh. What is attractive to the flesh is a gospel that tells you you can be healthy and wealthy. Period. Everybody likes that. I mean, every non-Christian will like that. Everybody in the world will receive Christ if that were the gospel. Surely, if that were the gospel, every single human being in the world would accept Christ. Because every single human being in the world wants health and wealth. I've never met a beggar or a rich man who doesn't want health and wealth. Why is it the world rejects Christ? Because that's not the message Christ brought. And yet so many are preaching it, as if that were the message Christ has brought. To me, that is the clearest proof that the health wealth gospel is a fake. Because if it were true, the whole world should accept it, because everybody wants health and wealth. But what is the message Jesus brought? That you have to die to yourself every day and take up your cross every day. That's what nobody wants. That's what proves to me that that's the real gospel. And that's why they killed him. So when Peter heard this in verse 22, what Jesus is going to suffer, he said, no, that's never going to happen. That was the natural reaction of the Adamic nature. That's not going to happen to you. It's not going to happen to me. We're going to be prosperous and healthy, not this business of, verse 21, suffering many things and being rejected and killed and all that. No. The reaction of Peter is the reaction of every child of Adam to the message of the cross. I don't want this. And now, listen to what Jesus said to Peter. As far as we know in the Gospels, there are only twice that Jesus used the word, get behind me, Satan. One was when Satan came to Jesus and told him, worship me, and I'll give you everything in the world. in Matthew 4, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And the other time was when Peter came and basically said the same thing. In other words, don't go to the cross. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." So do you see a link between these two? I think there is. I see it like this, that if I don't take up the cross, the only other alternative is to worship Satan. I don't know whether you see it as seriously as that, but it is. I want to say to every one of you, in any area in your life where you don't take up the cross, whether you know it or not, you're worshiping Satan. And Jesus is saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Because he told him the reason. In the last part of verse 23, you are not setting your mind on God's interests, you're setting your mind on man's interests. Verse 23.